We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Evan Ezer, Piri Yevarivya, Halacha Beis. We're in the middle of paragraph Dalid. Before we begin inside, just as a continuation of yesterday's Shir, introduction to today's Shir, there was a story with Rav Nosson Zal that they were in Ukraine, and this was during the time not of the communists, but still, there were a lot of atheists and people who really tried to bury religion in Russia, even during Rav Nosson Zal's time. And one time on a Shabbos, a man came into the shul, a Jew, who was known as a Jewish anti-Semite, sort of. Somebody who really made fun of religion, made sure to go to work every Shabbos, and he worked in a printing press. And one day, Shabbos morning, they see him walk into the shul, and they're looking, they're wondering what happened. Who knows, maybe even this person that decided to do tshuva. But then somebody takes a look at his hands and they see his hands black from fresh ink, which means he's coming from work. And as would be natural among Jews, right away people were thinking, how do we get rid of this guy? Maybe we should throw him out or somebody should hint him to leave. Imagine. In the shul on Shabbos morning with his hands full of ink, you know, our kids are going to see that. And Rav Nosson Zal immediately became aware of this, and he sent word out to everybody, no one should say a word to him, not a single word, nothing. Nothing to make him feel the slightest iota unwelcome on anything, period. He stayed that Shabbos, came back the next Shabbos, and eventually got to where he needed to get to. So in terms of a Jew deciding to exclude anybody from the community, that takes the highest level authority, the highest level tzaddik, to be able to say that. And in these forum especially, in Rabbi Nachman's forum, Rabbi Nosson Zal's forum, we will see how far down we go, like how far he does address the topic of a moiser, a person who informs on other Jews, where the Shulchan Aruch says, Moiridin v'loimalin, that is addressed in Yoredeya. In Yetz Hashem, we'll see exactly what the parameters are when we get to that. Let's continue from where we left off in the previous year. The paragraph begins, V'zeh b'chinas shemen uktoiris. Rav Nosson Zal begins by quoting a pasuk from Mishlei, chapter 27, where it says that oil and ktoiris, the special incense, bring joy to the heart. Ki ikar mitzvas ktoiris bishas hadlokas haneros. Rav Nosson Zal says, note the association here, that the Torah puts the ktoiris next to the oil that was used for lighting the menorah in the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash. Because in actuality, that's when the Kohen brought the Ktoiris, at the time of the lighting of the menorah. Kemoshe Kosov, as it says clearly in the Torah, in Chumash Mois, chapter 30, Uveha lois Aron esaneros, around the time when Aaron HaKohen will be lighting the menorah, Yakti Rena. Around that time, he will offer the Ktoiris. Ki shemen zebechinas makifin. We had learned earlier in this halacha, Rav Nosson Zal had quoted from Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Moran, that when a Jew shares their knowledge with others, he takes people who don't know what he knows, and he empties his brain into them, Hashem rewards that person by filling the vacuum with makifin. We mentioned that there are two terms, the term pnimi, pnim, and makif. Pnim is the seichel which a person has already absorbed, that which I know already, it's in my brain. Makif is what we picture like a halo around the person's head. It's that knowledge which is accessible to the person, but they don't have it yet. And the Sfarim, all the Sfarim write that the mission of a Jew in this world is to be going higher and higher, to be constantly converting makifin into pnimim and getting a new makif. Each time the makif becomes a pnim, you get a new makif, and you keep going higher and higher. So in this chapter, in the Likutei Moran, Rabbein Zal emphasizes that every single Jew, no matter what level they're on, has something to share with others, has something special about them, something unique, Otherwise, Hashem wouldn't have created me. The fact that Hashem created me after having created you and you and you and you implies that there's something in me additional and different and unique that's not in anybody else. And that's why Hashem put me in the world. And if I'm privileged to develop that, to get to know that, to become aware of that and develop it, it's my responsibility to share that with whomever I can. When I do that, we're not talking about knowledge of how to bake or how to, we're talking about awareness of Hashem, consciousness of Hashem, spirituality. So if I use that properly, if I share it with others, Hashem replaces the makif with a new makif. I'm privileged that what was makif before becomes pnim. Now we know that sechel, intelligence, brains, knowledge, is usually represented in the Torah by oil, because our brain is represented by a candle, like a burning candle, light. Light is always knowledge, wisdom, which is being fed by oil. We'll see soon, if we have a chance, we'll say something special, additional related to this. But here we're being told that shemen zebechinas makifin, oil represents especially that knowledge which we don't have yet. Because again, the candle burning is burning with what it has already. As the oil is feeding it, it's new knowledge being fed into that light. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, lehatzil ponim mishemen, to light up the face with joy and happiness from oil. Kimavur b'mayim ranal, as Rabbi Nachman explains in the chapter in Likut Imran that this halach is based on, chapter 7 in the second half of Likut Imran, paragraph 11. Kalidei k'toyres, because it's through the k'toyres, shemekasher kol hamadregos hatachtoinos l'Hashem Yisborach, which we said has the ability to reach down to the lowest levels and connect them, elevate them, and attach them to Hashem, bring them higher and higher. Sheze bechinas haoras ben v'talmid kamuvim amaral, which is also tied into the concept of the son and the student, which Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in Likut Imran, representing two levels. The son, S-O-N, represented the higher level, and the student represented the lower level. So when by bringing all of that together, Ayidei zeh meirin hamakifin, the person is zeicher, that which was makifin to him until now, that knowledge which he had not yet achieved, will light up, will become pnimim, bechinas shemen, as in the example of shemen. While we're on the topic, and being that today we're in the period called Shevovim, the period, the 6 weeks that start from Parsha Shmos and go through Mishpatim, this is something that there are many religious Jews that are not aware of this at all, because it's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch in a very slight way. In Sifrei Chassidus and Sifrei Kabbalah, there's much more on this, that because of the fact, we know that as the calendar moves, the Torah portion that we read every single week is relevant and related to what's going on in the calendar on that week. Meaning if right now we're in the month of Teves, we're towards the end of the month of Teves, the Torah portions that we're reading every single week, which most people wouldn't necessarily see any connection whatsoever, those that are more knowledgeable know that there are very specific connections, that the Torah portions we're reading every week are following us, accompanying us throughout the year, giving us exactly what we need for that particular season, for that particular week within the calendar year, whether it's winter, summer, Teves, Nisan, whatever it is. These 6 weeks, we read about the Jews going down to Egypt, spending quality time there, and then coming out of Egypt. And the Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus explain that this repeats itself every year. We who are living in Yerushalayim, or Lahavdil in New York, wherever it is, are going through, and we're reading the portions of going down to Mitzrayim, we are going down to Egypt, and we're spending time there, and we're coming out of there on a spiritual level, which means that we're involved in trying to repair, trying to fix the reasons, the things that caused the Jews to go into exile and to suffer at the hands of the Egyptians, and to be able to come out of there. One of the most important things that brings Jews into exile, we know in the story in the Chumash, was the sale of Yosef HaTzadik, selling Yosef HaTzadik down the river. That he was sold into slavery, the entire Jewish people, his 10 brothers, which represented the whole Jewish nation, had to go into slavery to pay for that crime. Now, Yosef, each person represents a unique attribute of Hashem. Yosef is known as Tzadik. He represents the issue of purity, Tikkun HaBris, Shmiras HaBris. And Shmiras HaBris is something that's on many levels in many different ways. One aspect of Shmiras HaBris is a Jew maintaining their own personal purity by watching their thoughts, keeping their thoughts within the boundaries of kosher, not thinking any unkosher, sinful kind of thoughts, watching their eyes, looking where I'm supposed to, not looking around, and their actions. Another aspect of Tikkun HaBris is becoming close to and showing respect to the tzaddik, because the tzaddik is called Bris. He is called Ois, Yesoid, Bris. And any going against the tzaddik in any way is referred to as Pegam HaBris. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, which is brought related to this, where the pasuk says, Sholach Yodov Bishloimov, he stretched out his hand against those who are at peace with Hashem, meaning Hashem's close buddies, the tzaddikim, chilel brisoi. That implies that he desecrated the bris. Any person who attacks a tzaddik is an aspect of chilel bris. And the Sfarim write that usually you will observe that a person who does attack or show disrespect to a tzaddik in any way, it will affect their purity of mind and action in areas between the relationship between men and women. So now, Rabbeinu Zal tells us in Likutei Moran, chapter 60, and in other places, that the brain, the seichel of a person, is compared to a candle, and the candle has to be fed with oil, with fuel. What fuels the brain, this candle, is the liquids of the body, the oils of the body, especially the Tikkun HaBris, the purity, the seed. To the degree that a person guards his seed, he doesn't waste his seed, and he guards it and he conducts himself with it only in a kosher, religious, proper manner, then the oils are staying in the body and they're able to fuel the brain for the person to think clearly, well, positive, etc., etc. To the degree, chas v'shalom, that a person releases those liquids, wastes those liquids, to that degree they're taking away from the brain. They're taking away fuel from the brain, so the brain will not have that power. It's brought in Sforim that the name of Hashem that's related to Tikkun HaBris is the name Beis Yud Tes. It makes up the first letters of a pasuk, Bizroyoi Yekabetz Tloim. With Hashem's arm, he will gather in sheep. We know we speak about Pegam HaBris as being a concept of wasting seed where the souls, each time the person releases seed, a soul comes down with it. If there's a body for it to go into, then that soul becomes part of a community in a sense. If it has no body, it becomes dispersed. It becomes spread out, lost. Lost souls, in a sense. These lost souls that are spread out all over the place, in deserts, in all kinds of far-fetched places. And this pasuk speaks about, and we know the Jews are compared to sheep. So that this ingathering of the sheep refers to this gathering in of these souls. And again, the word bizroyoi is used, which means arm. The word zroyoi also refers to zera, the connection to the zera. This name of Hashem is used to refer to the aspect of Tikkun HaBris, and it's brought, it's mentioned in different places, different contexts. The Zohar HaKadosh says, you'll observe, that this name of Hashem in code, one of the codes that's used throughout the Torah, is where you take a letter from the beginning of the Aleph Beis and swap it with a letter at the corresponding letter at the end. An aleph becomes a tuf. The first letter becomes is replaced with the last letter, or the last letter is replaced with the first. The second one from the beginning is replaced with the second one from the end. So that in these three letters, Beis, Yud, Tes, the Beis, which is the second letter from the beginning of the Aleph Beis, is replaced with a Shin. Yud, which is the tenth letter in from the Aleph Beis, is replaced with the tenth letter from the end, Tav, Shin, Kufr, which is a Mem. And Tes, the ninth letter, is replaced with the ninth letter from the end, which is a Nun, which makes up the letters Shin, Mem, Nun, Shemen, oil. So that when we talk about oil being that special liquid, that special fuel that allows a light to burn in a healthy way, this oil is coming from this, from the Tikkun HaBris and Shmiras HaBris of the person, to the degree that the person is controlling the liquids, the oils, the liquids and fluids of their body. One more and last example related to this is the Gemara in Gittin. There's a very famous Gemara in Gittin, page 56, 57, 58, where it speaks about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the exile of the Jews being driven out from Yerushalayim, the whole tragedy of the two temples being destroyed completely. So it says there that before Hashem decided, the last issues, before Hashem decided, that's it, it's over, we're destroying the Beis HaMikdash, was three incidents. And the Gemara says one incident took place in the city of Beitar, and it tells the whole story. The second incident was in the city of Yerushalayim, and the third incident was in a city called Tur Malka. And the Gemara tells the stories that took place in these three cities. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, Beitar, Yerushalayim, Tur Malka, Beis, Yud, Tes, the first letters, implying again that it's this issue, it's the oil, which represents the Holy Temple, which represents light, spirituality, everything. It's the fact that we were poigim in this thing. The Torah says clearly that the Jews made fun of the tzaddikim. Vayihu mal'ivim b'malachi elikim. In Eichot says, they insulted and embarrassed the heavenly angels, the tzaddikim. That's an aspect of chilul abris. That results in the candle, the light going out, the light being extinguished. We touched on this, and because this is the period of Shevavim, that's why I wanted to mention it, that this is a special opportune time for those who are aware of this, these 6 weeks, for a Jew to try to improve, with our study of Torah, with our tefillah, with our mitzvahs on all levels, especially including the issue of Tikkun HaBris, purity, because this is the time when the Jews went through this incredible purification that went on in Egypt, until finally we were zeichet to be led out of there by Moshe Rabbeinu. Back to earth. V'nodov Aviu. Going back to what we mentioned the previous year, the two sons of Aaron HaKohen, Nodov and Aviu, shenichnesu lahaktir k'toiris, who entered into the Mishkan and tried to offer the k'toiris when they were not told to, they were not instructed to, v'lo in sivu, and they were not married. And we had explained in the previous year that marriage is going down, reaching down. Not because the wife is less than the husband. There are sometimes, the pasuk says, eshes chayil ateres bala. A woman of valor is the crown on top of the head of the husband. Women can go billions of miles higher than men if they want. But the normal representation within Torah, within Kabbalah, within Hasidus, is that the man represents an upper level, the woman represents a lower level. And one of the incredible accomplishments in marriage is that it's a union between upper and lower. If the marriage is being conducted properly, it's a union, it's bringing together, it's elevating. It's the husband knowing that it's his responsibility to bring the wife up, to elevate her. The Gemara says, Chayev Odom Lesameach Es Ishtoi. It doesn't say the woman is obligated to make her husband happy. It says the man is obligated to bring joy and happiness to his wife. Because again, the default is, if a man is living a proper life with Torah, with mitzvot, he is loaded with simcha. And the woman who usually does not have as much Torah, she doesn't have the same obligation, she has less simcha. And therefore, it's the man's obligation and privilege to shine that simcha into her, to elevate her, to lift her up. So a person who's married is a person who's bringing together upper and lower. Nadav and Avihu were not married. They made an attempt to bring Torah, and we said that Torah is from top, the tippity top, to the bottom of the bottom. They made an attempt to bring Torah without being married, which means Sherotzu Lalois Lamalo Lamalo Lamalo. They wanted to go up, up, up. They wanted to be astronauts, to go all the way up. Shezeo Bechinas K'toiris. That's what the K'toiris is all about. Avoloi in Sivu. However, they were not married, which means Shelo Yordu Lamato. They had not reached down Lekasher Gam Ho'ilomoy Satachtoinim to connect the lower worlds, to make a connection to the lower worlds and bring them up. The Alkane. And as a result of that, Pogmu Bahaktoiris Shekrivu. Their K'toiris was defective. Their K'toiris not only didn't it accomplish, it caused damage. Ki ikar shleimus haktoiris, kishemekashrin hakoil Hashem Yisborach. Because the real perfection of K'toiris is when we're able to connect everything to Hashem, afilu hanemuchim oid, even those who are very far down. We showed in the previous year that the Shiloh HaKodesh says that Chelbana is bigimatria homon. You can't get lower than that. Amalek, we know the one nation in the world that the Torah defines as rak ra kol hayoim, only evil all day. That's a pasuk in Bereishis, and it says that the last letters of that pasuk, rak ra kol hayoim, spell the word Amalek. Amalek is the representation of evil at its highest, at its worst. And Haman was right up there. And we said that the Gemara says in Gittin, in that same area where I quoted earlier, the Gemara says, Mibnei Bonov Shel Haman, from the descendants of Haman, came forth people who taught Torah to the Jews. How could that be? The answer is K'toiris, this secret weapon. That there is a level of holiness that's so high that when we have a Beis Hamikdash, when we have a Mishkan, when we have true tzaddikim, they have the ability to go as far down as could possibly be and to bring up holiness even from there. Vaharehu ukishein makrivin k'toris bebchinazu, and when a person offers k'toris in a different way, they don't follow this formula of connecting the bottom to the top. Hupogum, the k'toris is defective. Vahareyu ke'ilu, it's as if this person left out one of the ingredients from the k'toris. The chelbana, he left out one of the important ingredients. Make a cake, you put in all the ingredients, just leave out the flour. Or leave out the sugar. Try that for size, right? So she'oz bevadai haktoires posul legamri. We know the Torah makes it perfectly clear that if you leave out any of the ingredients of the Torah, it's posul. It's totally unacceptable. Kemoikein, similarly, kishein mekashrin umal in kol hamadregas hatachtoines l'Hashem Yisborach, when we are not attaching and elevating all of those lowest levels to Hashem, oz ein yecholim likones lifnim, then the tzaddik, the kohen, cannot go inside lahaktir k'toiris, to offer k'toiris. One of the prerequisites to offer k'toiris is you have to be one of those people who's doing outreach, reaching out outside the boundary of kedusha. This will explain why it's brought that the Baal Shem Tov once made an aliyas neshama, he knew the secrets, he knew the Kabbalistic terms and everything, how to take his neshama and put it into orbit, send it up. And he connected with Moshiach, as did several rabbis in the Gemara. The Gemara tells stories of a few of the rabbis that are meeting up with Moshiach, and the Baal Shem Tov said, nice to meet you, I have one question for you, when you coming? So Moshiach said, what do you mean? Simple, hayoim, today. That was the answer he gave to one of the rabbis in the Gemara. To the Baal Shem Tov, he answered, "Kishayofutzu mayinoisecha chutza, when your well springs will be spread outside chutza. That's the word outside. What is outside? Outside of the religious neighborhood. And we're going to reach enough of those people who are chutza, who are outside, That's when Mashiach is going to come. Why? Because when Mashiach comes, we're going to go inside. We're going to go not just inside, but way inside. And you can't go way inside unless you first included the outside. We mentioned it at the Seder night. The Arizal says at the Seder night, it says, Keneged arba bonim dibra Torah, that the Torah addresses four types of kids. Echod chacham, one is a chacham, the echod rasha, and the next one is a rasha, the echod tam, and the third one is the simpleton, and the fourth one is she'en yodei lishol, the one who doesn't even know what to ask. So the Arizal asks, seems to be out of order. You put the rasha next to the chacham? The Arizal says, most definitely. The Arizal says, a chacham who doesn't have a rasha right next to him isn't a chacham. Because the real chacham, sure, big deal to take guys who are religious, guys who've been yeshiva all day and all year, and to teach them more Torah. That, it's good, it's a mitzvah, it's nice. Let's see you take guys who are not religious. Let's see you take guys who are anti-religious. Let's see you bring Torah to them. Let's see you bring them to Hashem. That's a different league of accomplishment. And this is why Hashem said to Aaron HaKohen, Acharei Moishnei Benet Bonov, after his two sons died, Nodov and Aviyu, in trying to bring this Torah, Ve'al Yovoi B'chol Eisel HaKodesh, you're not allowed to enter into the Holy whenever you want. Kiyim B'yom HaKippurim, only on Yom Kippur, Al Yedei HaKorbonos V'HaKtoires V'chol Seder Rosh HaMikpurim, after first bringing the sacrifices and the Ktoires of Yom Kippur. Ki b'yom HaKippurim ozu slichas u'avoinos. Because Yom Kippur is the day when everyone is being forgiven for their sins. Ve'ikra kapor al yedei HaKohen Gadol al yedei Avodasi. The main forgiveness is accomplished through the Kohen Gadol, through his services. Kama shekosuv, as it says in the Torah, v'chiper al b'nei Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol will atone on behalf of the Jewish people. Va'oz daika kishu mechaper al Yisrael, and then when the Kohen Gadol is mechaper for the Jews, va'oz yecholim lahorim kol apoishi Yisrael, then we have the ability to elevate, to lift up all of the worst sinners, even people who did sin spitefully, kol hamunochim b'madrega shveil namucha, those who are on the lowest levels, lahorim kulam l'Hashem Yisborach, to elevate all of them and bring them close to Hashem. Oz daika hu yochol likonis lefnai v'lefnim. Then the Kohen Gadol is allowed to go inside. When can he go into the inner sanctum? Only after first reaching out and including all of those who are furthest away. Ki e efshir lichnois lefnai v'lefnim, because it is impossible and forbidden to enter into the inner sanctum. Kiim kishiyecholim lekasher ulahalois kol hanemuchim v'ashvolam elov yisporach. Unless you have the ability to attach and elevate all of the lowest people to Hashem, ulataharam kulam yavoinos, and purify all of them from their sins, oz daiko yecholin lalo islamalo lamala. Then and only then can the tzaddik go up to the highest places. Can the Kohen Gadol go way inside? V'lichnois lefnai v'lefnim. V'alkein, therefore, ha-Kohen Gadol b'yom HaKippurim, Tzorech Sheyeloi Isha. Now listen to this. You open up the Gemara that deals with Yom Kippur, Masechta Yuma, and the first thing it talks about is not Ktoris, and not the white garments, and not sacrifices, and not fasting. The first thing it says is, 7 days before the holiday, we check the Kohen Gadol out to make sure he's ready. And one of the first things we do is we confirm that he's married, and we designate somebody in the bullpen, another wife, that if anything should go wrong, chas v'shalom, he must be married. In order for him to be able to do that, if chas v'shalom somehow his first wife would, there's another one ready right there. That's statement number one in Masechta Yuma, that he has to have a wife. K'may shom Rabbi Seinazal, as the Gemara says, u'k'may shekosuv, and as it says in the pasuk, v'chiper ba'adoy uva'ad beisoy. The Kohen will atone for himself and his family. The word beisoy means family. The Gemara says, beisoy zu ishtoy. This fits perfectly with what we've been learning here. Ki kishayesh loy isha, because when he has a wife, He's connecting the underworld, the lower world, to Hashem. And this is the most important service of Yom Kippur, to attach and connect all of the lowest worlds, the lower worlds, to Hashem. Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'amen. Blessed is Hashem. Baruch hanoisein la'yoev koyach. Rav Nosson says, blessed is Hashem who gives those who are tired, exhausted, he gives us energy. Obviously, Rav Nosson Zal was going through certain things at the point he wrote this, that he felt he had to make such a statement, to thank Hashem for giving him the energy to persevere. Hashem should help that in the spirit of what we're learning, all those that need wives should be zeichet to good wives. All those that have wives, the wives should get better. And all wives that need good husbands, the husbands should get better. We should be zeichet to follow the advice of the Torah, to get to the shleimus that we need, to repair what we need to repair, to get to where we need to be zeichet to the complete kapora. We're talking about here of complete atonement, complete forgiveness, and to have Hashem restore to us the Beis Hamikdash, with the Kohen Gadol going inside, with all the good things. Baruch Hashem. We'll hold it over here. Yeah. My apologies.